Today's daf is Nida daf Nun Vav, and we're 11 lines from the bottom of daf Nun Hey Amid Beis Toshma. Today's daf is being learned as a Zchus Refuah Shleima for Shlomo Ben Tzara Liza. So yesterday we began the 7th parak of Masechtas Nida, which returns to some of the Tumah V'Tahira that's discussed in great detail in Masechtas Nida, specifically halachos of a Nida, a Zav, and a Zava. So the last thing that we saw was a machloikis Rav and Rabbi Yochanan regarding Mei Ha'af. Mei Ha'af, the Gemara learned from a pasuk that comes from either a Nida, a Zav, or a Zava is Tame. And there was a machloikis why Mei Ha'af is Tame. Rav said that Mei Ha'af is only Tame if it comes out Derech HaPeh. And the reason is because Mei Ha'af is not inherently a problem. It's just that E Efshe LeMei Ha'af B'loi Tzach Tzuchei Ha'roik. The roik of either a nida, zav, or zava is tame. As a result, if the mei ha'af comes derech ha'peh, and we assume for sure that there's tzichtzuche ha'roik in the mei ha'af, it's for that reason the mei ha'af is going to be a problem. Rabbi Yochanan argued. Rabbi Yochanan said, afilun b'negrorin derech ha'chaytah, that even if the mei ha'af comes out in its more natural way, it comes out through the nose, even then it's going to be tame, because mei ha'af is inherently tame. It's not just tame because we assume that there's some roik, there's some saliva inside the mei ha'af. But rather, mei ha'af is in and of itself a source of tumah. So just to properly appreciate today's daf, I think it's worth a very, very short introduction. And that is, again, we're talking about the unique tumah of a zav, a zava, a nida, and by the way, even though the Gemara is not discussing this, a yoledes and a mitzoira are very much related to the unique status of tumah of the aforementioned. So again, not all tumah was created equally. So you could have tumas mace, tumas sheretz, tumas nevela, tumas nida. They all have their own nuances, and loyroizek roizek. The Rambam in the beginning of Hilchas Metame Mishkav Moishav literally Perik Aleph Halacha Aleph says as follows: Hazava hazava, v'hanida v'hayoledes kol echad me'ar baton of me'avoyis hatoma. So all four of these are not the arba avoyis nazikin, but these are arba avoyis hatoma. Metame kelim b'maga. What's the unique status of these avoyis hatoma? Number one, they come in contact with a keli, the keli becomes tame. Umetame adam b'maga u'bemasa, and the metame adam b'maga and b'masa. Umetame mishkov u'moishav u'merkav. Additionally, these four have the unique Hilchas Toma of Mishkov Umoyshov and Merkov, Va'oisa Oisan Ava Toma. Anything that they sit on, lie on, or ride on, not only will become Tome, but they'll have a din of an Ava Toma. Skipping, the Rambam in Halacha Ches says, Dam Hanido, the Dam that comes from Anido, Oy Dam Hazova, or the Dam that comes from Azova, Oy Dam Hayoledes, or the Dam that comes from Hayoledes, Metame Becholshu Bemago Bemasa. They too are Tome, and they're Metame Bemago Ubemasa. Skipping to halacha yud beis, zoiv shel zav, the same is true with regards to the zoiv that comes from a zav. Again, the Rambam is referring to these arba avos hatoma, the zav, the zava, the nida, and the yeledes. So the zava, the nida, and the yeledes become tami because of the dam. So there the halacha is the dam of the nida, the dam of the zava, the dam of the yeledes, just like the nida, zav, and yeledes themselves are considered tami. The same is true with regards to the zoiv of the zav. Zoiv shel zav, av may avay satova. As we saw very much in yesterday's daf. Now I'm skipping again to Halacha Yudal. It says the Rambam, Roikoi shel zav, the roik of a zav, the shichva zaroi, and the shichva zera of a zav, umei mei raglov, and the mei raglayim of a zav, kol echad mishloshton of tuma din dairaisa. Those things are avay satoma as well. Meaning, not only is the zoiv the ziva itself, the thing that made the person into a zav and avatoma, but any saliva that comes out of a zav, any shichva zera, which is not the same as ziva, that comes out of a zav, and even the meiraglayim, the urine of a zav, these things are avos hatuma. Umetame b'cholshu b'maga u'b'masa. And they're going to be metame b'maga u'b'masa. Now this halacha, that the roik, the shichva zera, and the meiraglayim of a zav are considered Tome, and they're not just Tome, they're Aves HaTome, is known as the Mayonois of Azov. These three things are called Mayonois, and the Mayonois of Azov are Tome. Then the Rambam continues on Halacha Tezvav, it's not only Azov. Ve'echad Zav, Echad Nida, Ve'yoledes, Ve'zovah, Kol Echad Mehem, Roikoi, Umei Meiraglov, Of Tuma Kizav. Either way. So this is the basic idea of the Mayanes of a Zav. Again, it's a little bit complicated, as all halachas of Neganva, Halois, and all halachas of Tuma Vetahira. Regardless, the Gemara is going to begin now with a braisa that discusses this halacha of the Mayanes of a Zav. And again, it's not only Zav. Like the Rambam says, Zav, Zava, Nida, Yoyledes, and to a certain degree, Mitzayra as well. They all get lumped together. They're all included in a lot of the halachas that we're about to learn. Tashma, Tisha, Mashkin. There are 9 different Mashkin as it relates to Hazav, Hein, Hazeya. The first one is sweat. Valechas, Ruchas, Pas, Vaharei is excrement. The halach is that these three, although they're technically Mashkin, Tahoyra Miklum, they're Tahar. No tuma whatsoever. Dimaseinoi, the tears of Azov, the damagafasa, or any blood that comes out of Azov, because he has a wound, the chalava isha, or a woman, as in a zava, if she has milk from where she nurses, mitame tumas mashkin birvias. Those things are tame, but they're not tame b'mashu, they're only tame if you have a sheer revias, which is another way of saying that even though they're tame, but they're not considered mayonos. Aval zoivoi, the zoiv of Azov, roikai, his saliva, umeme raglov, and the meiraglayim, they have a din of tumah chamura. They're treated like mayonos. Says the Gemara, what's that to do with what we're discussing right now? Because we just mentioned a machloikus between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan regarding meyo'af. Rav said meyo'af is not something that's in and of itself tumah. The reason mei ha'af is mentioned by Chazal as being tameh is because when sometimes mei ha'af comes out derech ha'peh, and if it comes out derech ha'peh, he efshur that there'll be some tzuchei ha'roik, it's because of the roik that's inside. Rabbi Yochanan argued. Rabbi Yochanan felt that mei ha'af is in and of itself a source of tumah. What's the kasha? Why didn't the braisa mention mei ha'af? It says tisha mashke l'chura vilu mei ha'af le'ketani. It's mishlam il rab, mishlam according to rab le'ketani le'psikil le'lam isne. Zim nasi derech ha'peh, zim nasi derech ha'chaitim. It's not always tameh. What does it mean it's not always tameh? It's not something that's inherently tummy. It's only tummy if there's reik inside. But meyo'af is not a new type of a mayon. El Rabbi Yochanan, but according to Rabbi Yochanan, that holds that meyo'af is in and of itself tummy. Listen, so why does it say 9 mashkin? It should say 10. And the list of the ones that are mayonos should include in it meyo'af. So the Gemara says, according to you, kichavaniya miktani, it doesn't say phlegm. And phlegm, everybody knows. Even Rav agrees that phlegm is considered a mayon of a zav. So how come it doesn't say phlegm? Must be elatana roik v'chalda asa miribuya. It mentioned roik. It mentioned saliva. Included in saliva is phlegm. Why? So the Gemara says because it's asa miribuya. It's referring to the Gemara yesterday's daf on top of the Amid. The Gemara says, how do you know kicha v'niyoy? Because it says v'chi yaroik, and the word v'chi is marba, not only roik, but things that are close enough to roik, such as phlegm. So being that phlegm, kichai v'niyoy, is learnt out from the ribuy in the word roik, and we mentioned roik in the braisa, so we don't have to mention kichai v'niyoy. How did we know meyo'af was also learnt out from v'chi? So even according to Rabbi Yochanan, the meyo'af is in and of itself a source of tumah. Bryce didn't have to mention it, just like it didn't mention kicha miniyoy, because it's included in roik. Dimas eino, says the Gemara. So we mentioned 9 mashkin that were really divided into 3 groups. The first 3 are tahira miklum. The second 3 were tears, blood that comes out of a wound, or the chalav isha. Those 3 things are not mayonis, meaning they don't have the tumah chamura that the matame bekalshu, but they do convey tumah, albeit birvias. So says the Gemara, dimaseinoi. How do you know dimaseinoi is a mashka? That's what the Gemara is trying to determine. Dechsev, it's learned that from a pasuk. It says, Vatashkemoi vidmoi shalish. Vatashkemoi is a lashon of mashka. Dmois are tears. So you see that you find the word mashka associated with tears. Vadam agafasi dechsev. Vadam chalolim yishta. That again, you drink a beverage. So dam chalolim yishta, the dam of the wounded, of the chalolim, one will drink. And malikat gulim, malikat opal. I mean, even though the pasuk of the chalolim is referring to dead people, and dam agafase of the braiser doesn't mean the dam that comes dafka from someone that's dead. It doesn't have to be from a corpse. It could be even from a live person. But like Chazal often say, malikat gulim, malikat opal. So when a person is wounded, it's like a katle palgon. On some level, he is dead. And it's for that reason, if we see that the beverage of a cholol is considered, if the dam of a cholol is considered a beverage, the same will be true of all dam agafas. And finally, cholov yisha dechsev atiftach asnoi da cholov atashkeyu. Either way, so that's the makar for those three. Mei raglam, you know. How do you know mei raglayim? Now, the Gemara's question, mei raglayim, is not how do you know that it's a mashka, but it's more than that. How do you know that mei raglayim is treated like a mayon? Because mei raglayim was in the third group. Again, Tisha Mashke, the first group were Tar, the second group were Tomei Birviyas, and then the last group was Zoivai Roika Yumei Mei Raglov. Now, why are we starting with the ninth one? What about 7 and 8? Zoivai and Roikai. So the Torah is simple. Zoivai, we have Ribuyin. I mean, that was yesterday's daf. And Roikai is a Mefurish Apostle. V'chi Yorei Kazov Batohar, V'chi Beis Begodah, V'rochatz Bamayim, V'tomei Ad Ha'orev. So we know Zoivai. We know Roikai. But Mei Raglayim, how do you know? Zachtumar V'alui Dinu, L'chayro, L'learim Mikal V'chayim, Ma Roikai B'al Mimokim Tahayro, Tomei Madach Roik, which comes from a place of Tahayro. Right? Where does Roik come from? It comes from your mouth. Your mouth is a place of is tar, and still, if it comes from azov, it's tamei. Mei raglav habam yomakom tamei edin sheyut meim. So mei raglayim, which comes from the makom tuma, it comes from the aver hataiva, which is the makom tuma in this setting, because we're dealing with azov, who's tamei because of what came from that same aver. So inu edin sheyut meim. But we're dealing with azov. How did he become azov? Because tuma was yoytze migufay. What part of his guf? The aver. So it's mistaber that if something else comes from his aver that's like a mayon, that it should be matama. So madach, once you're a zav, if something comes from your mouth, you're tamei. Certainly, if something comes from the aver, you should be tamei. Zok the Gemara, but it's not true, because dama yoytze pi ami yachich, ave techiach in the kal v'chaymer. Because if blood comes from the amo, the halach is a zav, that is not considered a mayan. Shabami makam tamei v'tar. Af at al tatam al zesh afu bishabakam makam tuma yirtar. Meaning you have a teichiach on the kavu chaimer because I find you something else that also comes from that makam of tuma, and yet it's not going to be considered tamei. So you can't learn a mikavu chaimer. How then do you know that the meir aglaim of a zav is tamei tamud loy mar zoyvay tamei? And then it says the word v'zois. It's two psukim. Zoivai Tomei, and then the following pasuk says, Vizois the rabbis, may me raglov the toma. So the Vizois is the ribu. Dam yotz piyama min all the tar. We just said that the dam that comes from the piyama is tar. Eddie, you know, the time we went to the price, oh, yeah, dam yotz piyama tomei. And you would have thought that dam that comes out of the mouth of a zav, just like the reik, or if it comes from the amo of the zav, just like the ziva and the mei raglaim, you would think they should be tomei. Tamudoy ma zoivai Tomei, who Tomei, vein dama yoytze mi pibu, pi ha'ama Tomei. So we have a miyot, who, to tell me that it's not Tomei. Elo tar, freit gemar ve'epachana. Meaning what we just did was, is we had a ribuy and a miyot in the parasha of Zov. We had the word v'zois, zoivai Tomei hu v'zois, to be marba. And then we had Tomei hu, who was always a miyot. V'zois was marba, the meiraglayim of a Zov. Who was memayit, the dam that comes from either the Zav's mouth, or even from the Pia Amo. So, Freit the Gemara, how do you know to be Marba Me Raglayim, that's considered a Mayim, that's an Avatomo, that it's Matama even B'mashu, and to be Mema'et Dam, maybe the Epochana, Efshefakert, maybe we should be Marba Dam, and we should be Mema'et Me Raglayim, Amrab Yoichan, Meshum Rab Shimon Ben Yoichoy, Dum Yodaroichan. This is an often quoted statement in the Sugyas of Tumah V'Tahayra. The reason that we're Marba Me Raglayim, and we're memaet dam is because meraglayim is more similar to roik. Roik, the Torah said mefurish. V'chiyorei kazov, the Torah says that's considered a mayan. That's considered a source of toma. So the definition of what a mayan is, as it relates to the halachas of zav and nidah, it has to be similar to roik. What's unique about roik? Okay, ma roik shemis agav yoytze. Just like roik, it gathers first and then it leaves a person's body. So too, anything else, af kol shemis agav yoytze, that's going to be considered. Yotze dam, shemis agav yoytze. Dam drips, it's not misagol, and then it all comes out in one shot. And being that it drips out, since for that reason it's exclusive. Mei raglayim is misagav yoytze. As opposed to dam, it's not misagav yoytze. That's why we're married mei raglayim, and we're married dam. Feitim ha'vali cholov shebi'isha shemis agav yoytze. What about cholov? Cholov of a woman is also misagel v'yoytzer. Va'amar Maron, we learn chalav shabayisha metame Thomas Mashke. Thomas Mashke, didn't have a Thomas Chamur Eloi. So why is chalav not considered a mayan? Based on this definition of mayan, that it's misagel v'yoytzer, shouldn't chalav be included as well? So why is v'zayis only marba meiraglay? It sounds like it's marba anything that's misagel v'yoytzer, anything that's similar to roik. So the chur chalav isha should be the same way. And even though chalav isha was mentioned as one of the nine, but it was in the wrong group. It was in the second group, not in the third group. In the second group, meaning it conveys tuma, but only berevius, not tuma chamura, meaning it's not treated like a mayon. Elam Rabbi Yoichan, Rabbi Yoichan said, right, you have to refine this a little bit better. Mishum Rabbi Yoichan, dumya de roik means ma roik misalgo v'yoitza, number one. Number two, v'chayze v'nivla. After it leaves, quote unquote,
you could be boileid. You can bring it back in. So if you want to spit, you can then swallow your saliva, meaning it's chayzev enivla. Avkol misagav yoytze v'chayzev enivla. Yotze, dam, shem misagav yoytze. So dam is excluded because it's not misagav yoytze. And yotze, chol of shabiyishu, sha'af al pishem misagav yoytze, even though it is misagav yoytze, be'inu chayzev enivla, and being that it's not chayzev enivla, it's for that reason, meaning once a woman has to nurse, so there's nothing to do with the milk other than for it to leave in the natural way. It's not chayzev enivla. That's why it's excluded. Right? The Gemara v'nelef mizay. Right? The Gemara, good kasha. So we're saying that we're being marba, meraglayim as a mayon, because what do you have to be similar in order to be considered a mayon? Similar to the one thing that the Torah mentioned. What did the Torah mention? Reik, v'chiyarek. So anything that's similar to v'chiyarek is going to be included. Anything that's not similar is going to be excluded. So we're marbe meraglayim, because it's similar. We're mema'et dam, because it's not similar. It's not misagel v'yotze. We're also mema'et cholav shabi isha, because it's also not similar. It's not chayzev enivla. Faith the Gemara is the only thing that comes out of Azov that the Torah said mefurish roik. No, the Torah mentioned two things. The Torah said roik, and the Torah said the ziva itself. Faith the Gemara, v'nelef mizayvay. Why are we learning from roik, and therefore being mar b'meir aglayim, and being ma'ayit, dam, and cholov shabi isha? Maybe learn from zoiv, and say, ma zoivay she'en misagel v'yotze, and so it's matama afkol, right? Zoiv is like, not misagav yoytze, so it's like dam. So mecha tasty be mema'it dam because it's not domi deroik. Maybe be marbit because it is domi to ziva. I mean, if anything, ziva sounds like that should be more the melamed than roik is. But the Gemara says, and Sfar, it's actually just the opposite. So if it doesn't teach me anything, zoiv is not a mayon. Zoiv is the actual metame. So being that the zoiv is the actual metame, you actually can't learn from zoiv. You could only learn from the mayon. V'hasheretz. Referring back to the Mishnah, so the Mishnah said, dam hanida ubasar ames. Those were examples of things that are metame lach and a metame yavish. And then the Mishnah gave a whole list of examples of things that are metame lach, but they're not metame yavish. Hazoiv, the haniyah v'haroik. We already discussed this, and now we're up to the next word, the hasheretz. So hasheretz is an example of something that's metame lach. It's not metame yavish. Zoktim amr ishlokish, ishlokish says sheretz she yavish. If you have a sheretz that's dry, the shulde kayemes, but a shelet is like a skeleton. The form of the sheretz is still intact. So the halach is tame. It's going to be tame. So ishlokish walks into Bis Medrash and he says you can have a sheretz, one of the shmoyne shratzim. Not all shratzim are tame. There's only eight. The shmoyne shratzim. If you have this sheretz, it's dead and it's dry, as long as the shelet, this kayim, it's going to be tamei. So everybody asked on Reish Lakish, it's connected to Mishnah. V'anan t'na, metamen lach, and metamen yevashin. Sheretz was an example of something that's metamen lach, it's not metamen yevash. I'm Reb Zeir, it's a lekash. Ha, bekulon, ha, bemiktsasan. If you only have part of the sheretz, so then the halacha of the Mishnah is correct. It's metamen lach, it's not metamen yevash. Reish Lakish said, but if you would have the whole sheretz, the entire sheretz with beer, and the shelet is kayan, so in that case, it would be metame, even if it's yavish. Meaning, Reish Lakish made an akint in the Mishnah. Now, when the Mishnah said that a sheretz is only metame lach, it's not metame yavish, it's talking about where you have miktsas of the sheretz. But if you have all the sheretz, it's different. The Tanya, in fact, it's a mefurish of Raisa. Om Rab Yitzchak, Brabisna, Om Rab Shim Mayachai. Bohem, it says in the Torah, with regards to shrots and bohem. Kol anegeya bohem. Yachabu kulun, sounds like, oh, Talmud loymar mehem. Another pasuk, v'cholat sheyipal olav mehem b'moysim yitma. Im mehem yochav b'miktsason, Talmud loymar bohem. Ha, ketzad, kam b'lach, kam b'yavish. If it's lach, even if it's mehem, even if you only have miktsas. If it's yavish, then it has to be bam. Amar Rava. Rava said, hani zvugi d'mechuza. So zvugi are toads, which is one of the shmoyne shratzim. Rashi says, it's the tzav. A tzav is mentioned in the Torah. A tzav is a toad. So these toads were dried, Rashi says. Hanim tzoyin yeveshim b'mechuzah. So Rava was the Marad Asra in Mechuzah. And apparently there were dead toads in Mechuzah. And Rava had an issue of psak about them. So he said, Hanim zvugu de Mechuzah, ki children kayemes. If the shelet is kayim, it's going to be tame, meaning in line with Reish Lakish's psak. Aye, what do you mean? It's yavish. Doesn't the Mishnah say that if it's yavish, it's a problem? The teretz is, if the shelet is kayim, you have all of it, in that case, it's going to be tame. Reish Lakish, similar halacha, sheretz nisraf, if a sheretz was burnt, v'shildei kayemes, but the shelet is kayim, tame, it's going to be tame. So The first halacha of Rish Lakish was if the sheretz is yavesh and the shell of this kaim is tameh. The second halacha is if the sheretz was nisraf and the shell of this kaim is tameh. If somebody found a sheretz that's soruf agabi azesim v'chein matlus amuhumo tahirin, the halacha is the zesim are going to be tahar. The implication of this halacha is that a sheretz that's soruf doesn't have the ability to be metama. That a talus that's mehuma, that's ragged, doesn't have an ability, it's cut up, to be metama. The question is, if you found the sheretz that's soruf, or this talus amehuma, on top of zeisim, do you assume that it's been there previously? And maybe it was there before it was burnt. Maybe it was there before it became a talus amahuma. And therefore, maybe, assuming the talus was tameh, was metameh the zeisim? Or do you not have to make that assumption? So that's this halacha. Nimtzei sheretz sarif agabi hazeisim chimat l'samahuma tahirin. You don't have to assume it's been there. Kol hatmeah is keshas metziyasam. Because you can always assume that it's keshas metziyasam. Incidentally, if it sounds familiar, le'ul daftal amaral. You assume that if this is the way you found it, this is the way it always was, or this is the way it landed on it, and there's no what do you see from it? We just need one halacha. We don't need the lumdus that the Gemara wanted on daft aleph of an aleph. What we just want is one piece. You see from here that a sheretz that saruf doesn't have the ability to be metama. That's why we have a shayla. If you found the sheretz saruf, is there an issue of tumah? Is there not an issue of tumah? So look, how does the shim with what Rish Lakish said? Rish Lakish said sheretz in nisraf, as long as the shell of the sky it's tummy. And here you have nimtza sheretz saruf, no problem, because when it's in a state of saruf, it can't be metama. You don't have to assume that it was there before it was saruf. Amar Reb Zeira, Reb Zeira said the same teretz. Loi kasha, habik kulon, habik miksasim. Rish Lakish is talking about with the shell of this kain. He's talking about where it's all here. If it's not all here, you don't have the saloch. And he shtelt to the same braisa, the tanya. Amar Reb Yisrael, this is Meshum, 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 Behem yachab al kulon, tamal lemi mehem. Imehem yachab al miksasim, tamal lemi bohem. Bohem sounds like all of it. Mehem sounds like something. Okay, so kam saruf, kan bishe enoi saruf. Either way, the Mishnah said that a sheretz is metama lach, it's not metama yavish. After further review, that's an oversimplification of the halacha. That's true if you have a mikzas of the sheretz. So a mikzas of a sheretz can convey tumah, but it only conveys tumah if it's lach, not if it's yavesh. If you have bohen, you have the entire sheretz, then it's matava lach, then it's and yavesh, then it's matava even if it's saruf, as long as the shelet is kayim, then the halacha will be matava. When you come up with the schilik, it's based on two psukim. One pasuk seems to suggest kolan ageya bohen, you need the entire sheretz. Another pasuk seems to suggest v'chala sheyipol olav mehem, loikasha, sometimes bohem, sometimes mehem. Zok de gemara, metamin lachin. Zav. How do you know that Zav is only metama lach? So the Mishnah mentioned that Zav is metama lach, and Nia is metama lach, and Roik is metama lach. So Zav, the chsev rar besara. It sounds like the Zav, or the Ziva, the Zav is metama when it's rar, when it's liquid. Kichay v'niyoy v'roikoy, the chsev v'chiyorek ha-Zav, ke'ein Roik. Roik in its natural form is moist, it's liquid. Sheretz, b'moysam amrachmana, ke'ein misa. It says b'moysam, when before the sheretz dies, it's lach, it's alive, it has chios, so it has to be ke'ein misa in order to be metama. Shichva zera, haru'uya lahazriya, and it's only ru'uya lahazriya, the zera, if it's lach. Nevela, the chsiv ki yomus, and we learn from there, ke'ein misa, like it was right before he died. Im yichoylun lahashus. And Mishnah says, what happens if you have any of the aforementioned things, and they're yavish? So you want to know, is this really yavish, or is it not really yavish? You have to go to a rav. Is this yavish or is it not yavish? I was being Isaac and Tyrus, and by mistake I touched the sheretz, and I don't know if it's lach, if it's yavish. I know the Mishnah, I only have mehem, I don't have bohem. So how would the Rav go about determining what the halach is? And the Mishnah said, if you can soak it, and it would return to its lach state, then the halach is it's not really yavish. So then it's metam lach and metam yavish. The definition of yavish is that it's so dry that even if you soaked it, it wouldn't go back to its natural state of lach. So the Gemara says, okay, what does soaking mean? You need a shelas ra for that as well. So the Mishnah addressed it. The chama hishu, yosan, the poison has to be lukewarm water, and the ace lace, you have to soak it for 24 hours. Says the Gemara, bayi Rabbi Yirmiyah. Rabbi Yirmiyah had a shayla. Chilase v'soif of the poison, when we say it has to soak in lukewarm water, does that mean it starts off lukewarm, but eventually, if you leave it outside, at some point, it's going to start getting cold, right? It's not going to be lukewarm forever, so does it mean that it has to be lukewarm literally for the entire 24 hours? So you have to go into a room that has really good climate control, make sure the water is going to maintain this poishrin state keep it there for 24 hours, and that's the experiment. As long as it starts off lukewarm, what you would have thought, afalpi, she'ein soifa, says the Gemara Tashma, believe it or not, it's a shayla. The time you come to Shir Yasan, be poishin, Yehuda ben Akusa, oimer, mi eis le eis, tchilasa, afalpi, she'ein soifa. As long as it starts off poishin, it doesn't have to end off poishin. Shimon Gamliel, oimer, Shimon Gamliel says, tzrichem shiu, poishin, eis le eis, it has to be poishin, eis le eis. Incidentally, we're not going to go into this, but if you look, there's a little vav next to Yehuda ben Akusa's halacha. Yehuda ben Akusa said, me'es le'es tchilasa yafa b'shein soifoi, and Rashbag said, tzricha b'shiyu poishu me'es le'es. Sounds like, just based on the vav, ayin maimini, the Rambam perik yidches, hilchas avos hatum halacha dalet, that the halacha is like Yehuda ben Akusa. And the truth is, if you take a look at the Rambam, he paskins like Yehuda ben Akusa. And the Kasem Mishnah is matmiya. He says, how can you paskin like Yehuda ben Akusa keneged Rav Shimon ben Gamliel? I mean, we don't have a Kloli Ashas, as it relates to when you have a machlokes from Shimon Gamliel, Yehuda ben Akusa. And the reason is because there isn't a lot of Yehuda ben Akusa in Shas. And says the Kasev Mishnah, Rav Shimon Gamliel, who's marred the Kula Talmudah. So it's poshit that if you have a machlokes, Rav Shimon Gamliel and Yehuda ben Akusa, the halacha would have to be like Rav Shimon Gamliel. It's a freak, the Kasev Mishnah. It's a Tamiya Gedoyla. How the Rambam Paskin, like Yehuda ben Akusa over Rav Shimon Gamliel, there's what to say about this. Ayin Baruch Laner, v'inkamakamir. Rav Yossi, oimer, Rav Yossi says, Basar Hameis, v'chulu. Rav Yossi argued. Rav Yossi said that Basar Hameis is Metama, even that Basar Hameis, that is Yovesh, is not going to be Tamiya. Meaning, the Mishnah gave examples of things that are Tamei Lach and Yavish. Then we had the example of things that are Tamei Lach and not Matamei Yavish. Dama, Nido, Basar, and Mace were both Matamei Lachin and Matamei Yavishin. Then Rabbi Yossi argued and said, Basar, and Mace, Yavish, Ve'inu Yochel HaHashus, V'lach, Z'l'kamash, Ayatar. No, if it's so Yavish that you can't bring it back into a state of Lach, it's going to be Tar. Amar Shmuel, Shmuel said that when Rabbi Yossi said that Basar, and Mace, that's Yavish, is Tahar, he meant Tahar, Milatame b'kizayis. It's tahar in terms of it doesn't have the unique halachas of kizayis basam and ames. Avol metama, it is still going to be tami tumas meis, albeit tumas rekev. Rekev is dust. So when it turns into rekev, the corpse does, that also has an ability to be metama. Tumas rekev is halach l'mayish misinai. It has a separate shulchan aruch of how that tuma works. So Rabbi Yossi just meant it doesn't have the tumas basar, but tumas rekev, that it's going to have. Tanya nami hoch, Rabbi Yossi, yami said him a furish in a b'raisa. Basam eishu yovich ven yochol lishreis v'lachsa k'mayish ha'ayu tar b'latama v'gizayis avol tome tumas rekev, even though it doesn't have tumas basar, it will have tumas rekev vait. Zog de mishnah. Hasheretz shenimtza b'mavoy. Somebody finds a sheretz in a mavoy. So the shaila now is, when did this sheretz come to the mavoy? I mean, there was a dead sheretz in the mavoy. And this is a mavoy where people were isak in tahiris. And the question is, do you have to now be concerned that, I don't know, maybe your tahiris accidentally, without noticing, by mistake, touched this dead sheretz? Now you have no idea how long the sheretz was there. So we have a problem here. Do I have to assume the sheretz is here for weeks? Like, what's the halacha? Says the Mishnah, it's metamal mafreya. There's tumas lemafreya as relates to a sheretz. How far back do you have to go? You need someone to step forward and say that I cleaned this mavoy and there was no sheretz. Oh, so if we know that 3 weeks ago on Sunday this mavoy was cleaned and there was no sheretz, so anything prior to that is not going to be an issue. But anything from that day up until now, you can have tumah lemafreya with regards to this sheretz. Oi, or ad shas kipu. The Gemara will explain what this means. Well, the last time they cleaned, the last day the sanitation department came through this mavoy, that too maybe would change things. V'chein, says the Mishnah, kesem. The same issue regarding a kesem. Shenimtza b'chaluk. If a woman finds a stain of blood on her beged, and the concern is that maybe this blood is dam nida. And it's even a bigger issue. She has no idea when the dam came. She never felt the dam leave her guf. That's why it's a kesem. And the question is how long was the dam there? So the halach is metamad mafreya chiyem v'dakti as a chalak azev v'lohev kesem. So up until the last time that she could say for sure, I checked this beged and there was no kesem on, up until that time there's going to be a problem. Or the last time she washed the beged. Washing the beged also helps. Says the Mishnah, metama, it's metama bein lach bein yavish. Now it sounds like this line is going back on both things that we mentioned. Both the sheretz and the kesem. They're both metame lach, and they're both metame yovish. What's the kasha? Didn't we just say a sheretz is metame lach, and it's not metame yovish? Teretz is Rish Lakish. Rish Lakish said that it's not always the case. Sometimes a sheretz is metame yovish. If the shelet is kayin, if you have all of it. So either way, that's clearly what the Mishnah is referring to. Rav Shimon says, hayovish, metame lemafrei. If it's yovish, then it's metame lemafrei. Meaning everything we just said is only true if the sheretz and the dam was yovish. The halach, but if it was lach, in a metame elad shosh sheyehe yochel lach, so v'li lach. If it's lach, it's actually in this Mishnah going to be a kula. Right, in the first Mishnah we learned in the parak, lach was a problem. Lach, even things that are not metame yovish are metame lach. Lach is a chumrah in the world of Tumah V'Taira. Here we have a kula. Why? Because the fact that it's lach is an indication of how long it might have been here. If it's lach, I mean, it's fresh blood. Couldn't have been here 3 weeks. If it's yovish, who knows how long it's here. But if it's lach, that means it's fresh. So then you can go and ask an expert, how long can dam remain lach? I don't know, 6 hours. Okay, so then for 6 hours, maybe you have to be concerned. But beyond that, meaning whatever they tell you, that's what it's going to be. You go back to that time, and up, anything that happened before that is not going to be an issue. Either way, the first line of this Mishnah, if it sounds familiar, it's because we had this in the beginning of the Masechta as well. We had this on Daf Gimel Amud Aleph, right? It's eerily similar to the first Mishnah of the Masechta. It's the first Mishnah of the Masechta. Shamayoymer, that kol anoshim da yeshayta. A woman found dam, and she doesn't know how long the dam was there. You found a dead sheretz in a mavo. You don't know how long it's been there. A woman found a kesem on her beged. You have no idea how long the kesem was on her beged. So the Mishnah says, tumul mafreya. Just like we had tumul mafreya in the first Mishnah of the Masechta, so da tumul mafreya here as well. Now, in the beginning of the Masechta, the Gemara went into this Mishnah and discussed this halacha, the halacha of mikvah, shenimdad v'nimtzachaser, all these related cases, more from the lumdus perspective. The lumdus of the chazak and the cheskas tyron, and from the more complicated perspective. Our Gemara is not going to do that. That was already addressed in the beginning of the Masechta. Now we're going to get into a more technical aspect of this halacha. So, ibayalo. The Mishnah said halacha regarding a sheretz, halacha regarding a kesem, even though they're two different things, but in our Mishnah, it's me'inyan le'inyan, very much ba'isa'inyan. The fundamentals of both halachas are exactly the same. You found the dead sheretz in a mavi, you have no idea how long it's been there. Tumul mafrei. The first thing is, you're going to have to be, unless you can tell me that you know for sure at some date this wasn't there, going backwards, you're going to have to be chayish now for tumul mafrei. But then the Mishnah said, there's two ways to mitigate the tumul mafrei. Number one, ad sheyoyma badakti esamavei azev loyoy by sheretz. If somebody says, I was baidik the mavei, and there were no shrots in there, okay, we trust them. The badika is a good badika. It's like mipkida lepkida in the first mission of the Masechta. So then you don't have to be worried about anything that might have happened prior to the badika. Oh yeah, chas kibur. Well, the last time they swept the mavei. Kibur literally means swept. Last time they swept the mavei, that's not going to be a problem. That means sweeping seems to be tantamount to bidika. The same issue regarding the kesem. What was the halacha of the kesem? You found the kesem on a bag. You have no idea how long the kesem was there. So the halacha is matamad mafrei ad sheyoyma badakti esachalach, or the last time the beged was not swept, but in this case washed. Why is the last time the mavi was swept help? Is the pshat because there's an assumption that at the time that you sweep a mavoi, whoever it was that swept it, he would also be baidik for shratzim. Shratzim was on people's minds back then. It had tremendous practical ramifications. And people took Tumah V'Taira very, very seriously, as we've seen, even more serious than many, many gufei Taira. So is the pshat that we assume that while the person was sweeping, he also checked? Or no, you don't have to make that assumption. Sweeping in and of itself constitutes bedika. That's the shayla. What's the Mishnah mean? The Mishnah means the sweeping is good for the bedika, or at the time that we swept, there's an assumption there was also a bedika. Does my nafkamina? Does it matter? The man says, "Yeah, give me two nafkaminas." Number one, the amar kavalei badik. Why the person says I swept, but I wasn't badik? If the vard is that sweeping in and of itself doesn't help, it's just that there's a chazaka that you probably checked. Okay, in this case, he told you clearly he didn't check. But if you're telling me that the sweeping itself is what does it, so in this case, he swept. Another nafkamina is the shachar b'guma. What if you found it in a ditch? If the vart is that we assume that the person was baidik, you know, while you sweep, so you knock off two birds with one stone. You also do the bedika, you search for shiratzim. Okay, manda baidik, but not baidik. So we would assume that the person checked in the gumas as well. But if it's the sweeping itself, gumalay mischabda, you don't sweep inside ditches, you sweep the things presumably into the ditches, but you definitely don't sweep inside of it. So if the sheretz was found there, the sweeping itself wasn't going to go. Same shayla regarding some. When we say the shas kibbutz, for a kesem is considered a time from which we could assume that anything prior to that is no longer an issue, because the Shas Kibbutz would have taken care of any ksamen. Is it because we assume that at the time that a woman washes her clothing, she checks for ksamen? Or no, she's not checking for ksamen, but the washing itself would remove the kesem. She says, clearly, I didn't check. If the washing itself doesn't necessarily remove the kesem, it's just that we assume there's a chazaka that she's doing a bedika while she's searching for the kesem. But if it's the washing itself, she washes. If she found it on the side of the bag, we assume that if you're looking for a kesem, you're going to look on the sides as well. But if it's the washing, right? They didn't have washing machines like we have today. You had to hand wash everything. And as a result, I guess a woman didn't necessarily wash the side of her beged. So if the kesem was found on the side of the beged, and it's the kibbutz per se, then I don't think the kibbutz, says the Gemara, should help me for anything that was found on the side. So the Gemara Tashma. So what's the halach? The Tanya to Mefurish Abraisa. Omer Ameir. Ameir said, a Mefurish Abraisa regarding these halachs. Neymar Omer Asheret Shinim Sebemavi Metamal Mafreya. Why is it that if a sheretz was found in a mavui, the halach is Tumal Mafreya Shimim, but Dakti is a mavi Azevali Hoyboy Sheretz? Oh, yeah, Chas Kibbutz. What's pshat in the halach of our Mishnah? Mepnei, Ameir explained, Shecheskas Pene Yisrael, Boitkin Mevoi Seyen, because there's a chazaka on the Bnei Yisrael that they checked their mavois at the time that they cleaned their mavois. And if they didn't, have sidul mafrei. What should I tell you? Then they lost out. Then he continued and said, why is the same halacha true regarding ksamim? Because there's a chazaka that a woman, while she washes her clothing, the Bnei Yisrael were very careful in Tumah V'Tahira. They were very careful in the halachas of ksamim. And they used to check their begadim for kesamim, and if they didn't check it, then they were mafsid lemafreya. You have to go back. It is what it is. Now, before we go back, it's Mefurish Rameir. What did Rameir say? Rameir said the reason the Shas Kibud helps for the mavoi, and the reason the Shas Kibus helps for the kesem, it's because there's a chazaka that a person checks. I mean, he couldn't have been more mefurish. Mipnei shecheskas bnei Yisrael boitkois chilukeyem b'shas kibuseyem. Mipnei shecheskas bnei Yisrael boitkin mevoiseyem b'shas kibudeyem. Rabacha incidentally argued. Rabacha Omar, he said, tachzer v'techabzeno, that even if the woman says, I didn't check, and the person says, when I swept, I forgot to look, doesn't necessarily mean it has to go back all the way to mafreya. There's a way, as it relates to the woman, to try to mitigate the damage of how much tumal mafreya you're going to end up happening. What could she do? What she could do is she could take this baguette and she could wash it again. Okay, what's going to happen? Im nitche marisoi, if the color of the blood changes dramatically now that she washed it, biyodua shala achar kibos. It must be that it was never washed before. Because the first time you wash a blood stain, the washing is going to make a big difference. The second time, it's going to cause it to fade a little bit, but it's not going to make such a difference. So if it makes a very profound difference in the beged, then that's a raya. This is the first time it was washed. Oh, if it's the first time it was washed, it means it wasn't there before it was washed. So then the Shas Kibud could now work as a marker for us to know that it definitely wasn't there before the Shas HaKibbutz. Rabbi says, you don't even have to do that. You don't even have to wash it. Because you can actually look at it and you can know if it was washed once. Because once it's washed together with a stain, it would be a little bit more entrenched in the beged itself. So there's a way to know from looking at the dam whether this dam was washed or not washed. And but based on that, at the very least, you can perhaps limit the Tomal HaMafreya up until the Shas Kibbutz. But one thing is clear, Shmami no cheskasai badok shmami no. Like we said earlier, for a mayor, it's clear that this is about cheskasai badok. Meaning, it's not that the kibbutz itself, it's not that the kibbutz itself, this is an assumption that when the man, whoever's job it was to clean the mavoi, one of the things they told him to do was, is by the way, you know, keep an eye out for a dead toad. And when the woman used to wash her begadim, she would inspect it, make sure that there's no kesamim, because she understood that kesamim is an important halacha. Metama bein lach v'chul amar b'loz is lo yishonu ela sheretz. This halacha is true with regards to sheretz. Avol kesem lach nami mitama lima freya. Meaning the Mishnah said that
This, that you have to be chayish for tumah mafreya, this big chumrah, that's only true if you found it yavish. But if you found the lach, you don't have to be chayish so far back. Because the fact that you found it now in a state of lach, that's a right. It couldn't have been here too long, because how long could it have remained lach? So Rabbi Elazar said that that line in the Mishnah, even though it seems to be very reasonable, it's only referring to sheretz. It's not referring to kasem. Why? Because by a kesem, even if it's lach, it's going to be metabolism afraid all the way back. Because maybe it was dry and then water fell on it and it made it lach again. Why can you say the same thing regarding sheretz? The Mara says, which basically means that it would have changed. You can tell when a sheretz was yavish v'nasa lach, right? Beginning of the daf, we were talking about lach v'nasa yavish. Say, here words, yavish v'nasa lach, you'd be able to tell. The daf, you would never be able to tell. The sheretz, you would be able to tell. So the halacha, the Mishnah is true with regards to the sheretz. It's not true with regards to the kesem exhale. So just to end today's daf with some raid, we're actually going to get very much into the halachas of ksamim now. We're starting Perek Karoya Kesem Netzach Shem tomorrow. So we're going to get into the halachas of kesem. But just one last ha'ara, as it relates to our digression of the last few days, and that is Talmud Torah as it relates to Nashim. So we've been talking a lot about Talmud Torah, the Nashim, specifically the Lashon HaRambam in the end of the first parak of Hilchas Talmud Torah, where the Rambam says, Isha Shalomda Torah, Yesh Lo Schar, Abul Enoi Kischar Ho'ish, Mipnei Shaloi Nitznavis. So if a woman learns Torah, she gets schar, but she doesn't get the same schar that a man does. Why? Because she's in Eina Mitzuva Vaisna. V'chaloisa Dabash Eina Mitzuva Olav, Ein Tzcharei Kitzchar HaMitzuva Shas, Alabachas V'menu. If you're in Eina Mitzuva Vaisna, you don't get the same schar as a Mitzuva Vaisna. Reb Chanin is Memra throughout Shas. Godol HaMitzuva Vaisna, Yoyse Memisha Eina Mitzuva Vaisna. Says the Rambam, V'afo Kishi Yish L'schar. Even though when a woman herself learns Torah, she gets schar. Tzivu Chachamim, the Chachamim instructed, Shlo Yilam Adam Nespite Torah. A person should not teach his daughter Torah. Because most women are in daita mechuvanos to learn Torah. They might see in divrei Torah, divrei avayla, if you don't understand daita, and they can end up distorting the halachas of the Torah. Amru chachamim, says the Rambam. In fact, not only was it tzivul chachamim shelo yilamid adam es bitei Torah, but it's even more than that. They said, did the chachamim kol milamid es bitei Torah kilo lim de tiflos, that if someone teaches his daughter Torah, it's as if he taught her tiflos. Who's this chachamim? It's Rabbi Eliezer. As mentioned in the Mishnah, Masech Tosaita, Tav Chof Amir Aleph. And then the Rambam says, "But Medvar Mamur Rebbe Tarish Bal Peh, Abba Tarish Abiksav Leinam Adonis Lekatchilo, Ve'in Lamda Eina Kem Alamda Tifa." So we spoke a little bit about the idea that the Rambam seems to say, "Kam Alamda Spitei Torah Kilo Alamda Tiflos," and it's brought down a Shulchan Aruch in Yerideya Hilchas Talmud Torah Simin Reish Memvav. Yet throughout the generations, there were women that were clearly geribin a Talmidei Chachamim. And the question is, how did it happen? If Kam Alamda Spitei Torah Kilo Alamda Tiflos, so what's Pashup Shat? We mentioned Devora Hanaviyah, we mentioned Bruya, the wife of Rav Meir, Yalta, the wife of Rabbi Yochanan, the wife of Rav Nachman. So the truth is, as it relates to Bruria and maybe Devora, maybe they didn't hold like Rabbi Eliezer. And Shas it's a machlekes between Ben Azai and Rabbi Eliezer. The question is that there were more recently women that were Talmidei Chachamim. There's no question that's always the way it's been. There are examples for it, but in Kamakoyim, it's not necessary to go into it. So the question is, if the Rambam says Mefurish that Amru Chachamim Kolam Alamed is Bitei Torah Keilu Limda Tiflos, so how do you reconcile that? So on Sunday we spoke out a big chiddush from Rav Shach. Rav Shach and Avi Ezri, right here on his sefer under Rambam Hilchos Talmud Torah Perek Aleph Halacha Yud Gimel, where Rav Shach says it's not a kasha, and in fact I'm not even sure if there's another way to read the Rambam. The Rambam seems to be distinguishing between a woman learning Torah and you teaching a woman Torah. Isha Shalom the Torah says the Rambam should get schalak in Eina Mitzvah Vaisa. And the Rambam doesn't seem to have any problems with it. It's the second part. Afal Pishi Yesh Lo Schar. Doesn't say Tzivu Chachamim that she shouldn't learn Torah. It says Tzivu Chachamim Shlo Yelamid Adam is Bitei Torah. And Chamalamid is Bitei Torah, Kilo Limda Tiflos. But the Rambam never gave you an asterisk on the first half of his halacha. The Rambam didn't say, even though Isha Shalom the Torah gets chal again, it's a voice, Amru Chachamim, she shouldn't learn Torah. Rambam never said that. Amru Chachamim, Tzivul Chachamim, Shalai Lamed, Amr Esbitei Torah. Amru Chachamim, Amr Esbitei Torah, Kilo Lim the Tiflos. So says Rav Shach, it's not a kasha. It's not a kasha.
there's a difference between a woman learning Torah for herself and teaching a woman Torah. Teaching a woman Torah, that's Benazir and Rebbe Eliezer, that's the Psak of the Rambam. As far as a woman learning Torah, it's no different than a woman sitting in a sukkah. It's a mitzvah that she doesn't have to do, but at the same time, if she does, Tavay Aleha Bracha, and not just that, she's going to get schar, albeit she's going to get schar, like in Eidah Mitzvah Vaisa. And we mentioned that this Yisrael of Reb Shach is something that apparently many were mekabel from their Rabbein, and that's the poshut, simple answer to how it's that we find women learn Torah, and throughout the generations there were women that learned Torah, Noshim Chashuvim, even though at first glance it seems to be Keneged Halacha, Psukun Shulchan Aruch, but really it's a toys. It's not Keneged. Because the Rambam's talking about teaching Torah, and there's a very clear distinction, the way Rav Shach and other Gedolei Yisrael understood it, that a woman can learn Torah, she just can't be taught Torah. The question is why? What's the difference? So if it's so chomer not to teach your daughter Torah, then why is it so okay for a woman to learn Torah by herself? So the Pasha Teretz is that really it's learning Torah, teaching Torah is the reason there's a problem to teach a woman Torah is based on a halacha that the Rambam says. But it's clear in the lashon of the Rambam, if you medayik lashoni yazov, it's only roiv that in daita mechuvanis l'slamit. But clearly, there's a miyat that we're not that way. So pashut pshat is that when it comes to teaching Torah, so you have to go basa roiv. And based on the roiv, you can't just go ahead and decide you're going to teach your daughter Torah because you want her to vaksois to be a big talmid chacham. That's not something you can do. But if a woman is motivated, she's inspired, she wants to learn. So adarav, if this is something that she wants to do, animin amiyut. So if anything, the fact that she wants to do it is probably a raya that she is from the miyuk. And based on that, it would be okay. There's precedence to say this far as I am Prisha and Yeridei Simon Reish Menvav. We don't have time to go into all these marmakaitis, but just wanted to speak out one dover chadash as it relates to this shmuz, and that is as follows. We mentioned very, very briefly that Chafetz Chaim, in his Likutei Halachos, in Masechta Soita, says that even though we find that the Tanoim discussed Kol Melamedes Bitei Torah, and they seem to take a very strong stance, Kilo Limda Tiflos, sounds like you just don't teach girls Torah, right? That's what it sounds like. But the Chafetz Chaim said as follows, and I'm quoting, Vinira, the Chol Zed Dafke Bezmanim Shulaf Leinu. This was all true in the olden days. Shekolech Adai Yadar B'Vakim HaVoysav, everybody lived together with their parents. V'kabola So'oveis HaYachazik Ma'oid, Eitzel Kol Echad Ve'echad, Lehisna'ik B'derech Shadarko HaVoysav. And people had Mesoyer that they were Makabo from their homes. K'mayim Ra'akosav Shalavicha B'Yageitcha. And you're able to be mekabel, right? Teirasi mecha, but v'zeh hayunu yichaylam loy mashlei tumah teira v'tisvach manogel avisem ayusharim. So what's the point in teaching a girl teira? It's not necessary. She can be mekabel any mesayer that she needs from her family. She'll know everything she needs to do. It's just not something that's necessary. Avu ke'eis said the Chafetz Chaim. Ba'avoy neisenu harabim shekabolas ha'avos nisroifef ma'od ma'od. We don't have the same mesayer that we used to have. V'gamotzi she'enu darba makam avos of klal. And there are many people that don't live together with their family. U'befrat oisam shemargila natsmi lumay ksav v'loshen ha'amim. And there are many people that they learn ksav v'loshen ha'amim. They're educated. B'vaday mitzvah rabba l'lamdom chumash. V'gam neviim uksuvim umusrei chazal kugay mesechtes oves v'seifem menoyres hamor ukedayma kidei sheyis ames etzlam indian emunaseinu haktoisha the ilav hachi, because if we're not going to go out of our way to teach them olul sheyosuru legami miderech Hashem v'yavru al kol yisoy de'adas chas v'shalom, says the Chafetz Chaim that this halacha of kamalamenes b'tei Torah kilo limdo tiflos with the ganzkeit of it, that is something that has to be appreciated in the context of the times. Once upon a time, Mesoira, Emuna, was given over, Shalavicha v'yageitcha. That's the way Mesoira was. A person was called from his father, v'gadat l'bincha. And in that world, Emuna was so fast, it was so strong, it wasn't necessary for a girl to go to Beis Yaakov. It wasn't necessary for her to do that. Because anything that she needed to know, she picked up at her home. But the Chafetz Chaim said that in his times already, he saw that it's not what it was. That today's days is really not the way it used to be. And as a result, we need to go out of our way to make sure that girls know what they need to know. And the only way to do it is by having teachers and moras and whatever to make sure that they're going to get the proper Messiah. You can't rely on the fact that the girl's going to get the Messiah in her house. It doesn't work that way anymore. And it's for that reason, the Chafetz Chaim said that this whole Sugya Mesechta Soita needs to be taken with a grain of salt nowadays. Now the Chafetz Chaim said this Bekitzer, he said this in the Likutei Halachos, but I want to read to you a tshuva, parts of a tshuva, excerpts of it, in the Sefer Maznaim B'Mishpat. This is from Zalman Suratskin, the Lutzker Rav, which was recently reprinted by Dovich. That could be a schuss for Shlomo ben Tzara Aliza. But just these sentiments that the Lutzker Rav brought out, Halacha L'maisa, he was discussing Beis Yaakov's and some of the curriculum that is in the Beis Yaakov of his times. And apparently there was some Kanoim that had an issue with the fact that the girls were learning too much Torah. And the Maznaim L'mishpat, the Lutzker Rav sat down and he wrote a tshuva. And he starts off as follows. He starts off that the chinuch habonois beruach ha-Torah, the limud ha-Torah, ma'oyre daiga b'pachad b'leiv t'mimim. I met a lot of people that t'mimim, they're very errants, they're coming from a very good place. And it bothers them that they see girls sitting and learning Torah. Why? Mipnei chidushai. For no reason other than the fact, this has never been the Messiah. So if the Messiah has never been this way, why we suddenly, we're so careful sometimes not to veer from Messiah, even though we don't fully understand and appreciate why we're doing what we're doing. But this is Messiah. So why for something like teaching girls Torah, which there's no Messiah for, even when it's okay. He didn't mean learning pilpul and bi'iyun. He wasn't talking about that. He's talking even the basics. Even Pirkei Avos, even Benoris Hamar, like the Chofetz Chaim said. Even now, we don't really have a Messiah for it. So the question was, why is that not a problem? Says the Lutzker Rav. You have to realize times have changed. And he depicts in his classic way that the world is not what it used to be. And once upon a time, it's true, a girl was able to get everything that she needed to get. But nowadays, it's not like that. It says the Lutzker Rav, I'll bring you precedents from Chazal, that there are times where Eis Lasei Slashem Eferu Teresecha, where we do things a little bit differently, specifically in this regard. His first makar is Chizkiyo. The Gemara says that in the times of Chizkiyo, there was so much Torah in the world that Badku, they inspect, Midan Vad Bersheva, V'loy Matzu Amaret. Imagine, you Pashit had to look Bechayr V'stokin to find an Amaret, right? Anybody have an Amaret? I haven't seen one, no. Then they did another Badika. They checked, Mamash in the Mavo here, right? From Gvas until Antifras, V'loy Matzu, and they couldn't find the Tinoik the Tinoikis, a boy or a girl, ish ve'isha shalayhayu b'kiyim behilchas tome v'tahira. The women were talmidei chachamim. Freak the Lutzker, why were the women talmidei chachamim? You don't find this anywhere. This is like a chiddush. That there was a dar with the boys, the girls, the men, the women, they were all talmidei chachamim. Where did this come from? He says he thinks the pshat is pashit. Because Chizkiyo was a tremendous tzaddik, but we know his father wasn't. His father was Ochaz. In fact, Chizkiyo was mezalzel in his father's covered, like a Moise, he thought it would be a kapar of a hoidu like chachamim. Chizkiyo's father, Ochaz, was a terrible rasha, and Ochaz did terrible, terrible things. He did terrible things to the avoid in the Beis Hamikdash. He did terrible things to Torah. In fact, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, Tav kuf gimel amad beis aperik chelik, lama nikrishmoy Ochaz, she Ochaz bati knesis ubati midrashos. He literally had fashlos in the Beis Medrash. That's what he did. And because he did that, Chizkiyo felt that he needed to counter that. He needed to counter that. So you know what he did? He saw this door where everything was so shvach, and he felt that I have to teach Torah. But now it's not going to be enough for just the boys to learn Torah. That used to be okay when it was Shonim Kitikunan. But now even the girls are going to have to learn Torah. Even the women are going to have to learn Torah. We have to make sure that we're going to be mechazik the men, and we have to make sure that we're going to be mechazik the women as well. But says the Lutzker Rav that the emes is even deeper than that. And here he raises it a notch. And that is that in a door where you find that emunah and things are shvach, it's not only is it important to teach the women Torah, it's more important to teach the women Torah than it is to teach the boys Torah. And the reason is because emunah goes over a lot more from the mothers than it does from the fathers. And just like Chazal said the Lutzker Rav, that noshim daitim kalois, whatever exactly that means, in daitim michuvanois, and it's for that reason, kamam is bitam Torah, kilam am tiflos, but the Gemara also says in nidam emhei amid beis, that women have a bina yaseira, v'loi kasha. He says, Daita Mechuvano is for the Iyun and the Pilpul and the Rizcha Dei Raisa. But they have a Bini Yaseir when it comes to understanding HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to understand Mi Bora Eilam, Mi Psara Echsel Ekim. When it comes to that, the women actually have a Kedima. And says the Lutzker Rav that in a world where Amunah Shvach, not only do we have to focus on the women and the girls and make sure that they're going to get the chinuch they need to be able to fight the storm that's raging outside, but we have to focus more on them because they get it more than we do. And as a result, if the women are going to tap in and their amun is going to be stark, then there's going to be amun in Klal Yisrael. It's going to go over to the next door, and it's even more important. He says, Moshe Rabbeinu, koysoim leveis Yaakov v'sagad lebnei Yisrael. First he spoke to the Beis Yaakov, then he spoke to the Bnei Yisrael. Why was he talking to the Beis Yaakov first? Right, he was talking first to the Beis Yaakov. How do you understand that? He says the Torah says because there's certain elements of Torah where the woman actually comes first. It's more important than you speak to the woman. Says the Skarav, I'm going to tell you a davar nifla. The pasuk says in Parashas Lech Lecha. Says the pasuk a few weeks ago. It says Vayera Vayomer Hashem al Avram Lech Lecha. So Vayikach Avram Asar Yishves Loi Penachiv, and they start going. They didn't really know where to go. Hashem just said Lech Lecha. Where did they go? They went Leches Arz Kanan. Why? Frank the Ramban. But either way, Hashem never told him to go to Eretz Kanan, but they Avram Avinu guessed. So he goes towards Eretz Kanan. Vayaver Avram Ba'aretz Ad Mekoyim Shechem. So Avram comes into Eretz Kanan, and he comes to Shechem. Ad Inloi Moira, Vaknani Yozmat Vayera, Hashem El Avram. Hashem came to Avram in Shechem, Vayomeli Tomo Zarachet, and Zarat Zazois. Vayivin Shom Ezbeach Lashem. And he went, Avram did, and he built him his bech. Then Avram picked himself up from Shechem, and he left. Vayatoik Mishem Hahara. He went towards the mountains. Mikedem Lebeisel. Vayet Aholoi, and then he pitched his tent. Beis El Miyom, Va'ay Mikedem, he's somewhere between Beis El and I. And there too, Vayivan Shom Mizbeach Lashem, Vayikra B'Shem Hashem. So Vayatik Mishem Ha'ara, Vayatik Mishem Ha'ara, Mikedem LeBeis El, Vayet Aholoi. The word Aholoi is pronounced the way we pronounced it, Aholoi. But it's written with a hey, as if it would say Aholoi. And the Medrash Rabbah here in Parashas Lech Lecha shtels the kasha. If you look at the Yeshem LeMesoiris, it says Aholoi. If you look at the Yeshem LeMikra, it says Aholoi. Says the Medrash that Vaistois, there were two tents. There was Avram's tent and there was Sarah's tent. It was Aholoi, Lashon Zachar, Aholoi, Lashon Nekeva, his and hers. There were two, but then the Medrash says something else. From the fact that it's written, Aholah, you see the word maybe before you pronounce it, Aholah is the way it's written, Vaislai's first Aholah, then Aholah. Says the Lutzker of why. Why did Avram Avinu pitch Sarah's tent? Okay, it's good manners, a gentleman, right? That's what a gentleman does. Incidentally, the Lutzker Rav has a Jerusha in his Sefer, Adei of Adibur. It's called Ha'isha Kaidemes. Right? Translate it yourself. It's called the Isha Gaidemes. So well, that's Pashim Shat? That just he was being a gentleman. So says the Lutzkrov. No, that's not what it was. He says, what was the oil of Avram? What was the oil of Sarah? It was an oil of Amuna. Right? The Chazal say that. There was Achila, there was Shtia, there was Levaya, but that was all the Mashal. What was the Nimshal? People would come in, they'd say, thank you, Rav Avram. He says, what are you thanking me for? Thank Hashem. Hashem? Who's Hashem? What do you mean? Who created the world? I don't know. I never thought of that. I thought the moon created the... No. And this was it was a Kiruv seminar. That's what it was. That was the tent. The tent of Avram and the tent of Sarah was a tent where they were spreading Torah. Not just Torah. Sheyesh Aloika, Veloit Sarach La'avda, like the Rabbi says in the beginning, Hilchas Avodah Zarah. That was the whole purpose of the tent. Avram Migayeres Anashim, he had his tent, Aholoi. Sarah Migayeres Anashim, she had her tent. That's Aholoi. They had their own tent. Said the Lutzker of whose tent did Avram pitch first? Sarah's. Why Sarah? He says, because when it comes to Amunah, it's more wichtig to teach the girls than it is to teach the boys. Because just like there's an idea of a man in Eon and Pilpul, he's the one that's maybe more ro'i to sit in Harava and be lon ba'umka shal halacha. But a woman has bini yaseir when it comes to understanding that there's an ebishta. A woman is going to be the one that's going to give over teyas imecha. She's the one that's going to impart over to the next generation. So says the Lutzker Rav, in that kufa where Avram Avinu was spreading amunas Hashem, it was vayeta Allah that it was a halay. That's why it's kaysem of the base Yaakov is Yaakov Yisrael. That's why batku mi don that ber sheva loy matzah amar. So the Lutzker Rav in Maznaim L'Mishpat Simin Mem Bey says Barichos Barchava what Chavetz Chaim said in Lekutei Halachos that all these sugyas, everything that you're learning, you have to take with a grain of salt. Just to end on a lighter note, I'll just tell you three things from the desk of Rabbi Yaakov Bienenfeld. The first is if a woman finishes a masechta, did you make a siyum? Could a woman make a siyum on a masechta? So you'll tell me, call the lamed to speak to Torah, kelim lamed tiflus. No, it's not so pashit. Why not? Because we spoke of Rav Shach. That's only maybe if you teach a girl Torah. But if she learns by herself, she could. Not just that. Rabbi Bienenfeld told me it's true for a Moshe somewhere in Nigris Moshe, where a Moshe says he can make a siyum on Torah Shavik Sav. Now, Torah Shavik Sav, a woman's for sure allowed to learn. The Rambam says, but med varam amurim, but Torah Shavik Sav. Aval Torah Shavik Sav, it's a lekatchila, but it's for sure not kilim alam de tiflos. So, could a woman make a siyum on Torah Shavik Sav? If you're invited to a woman's siyum during the 9 days, could you eat meat now based on the fact that you heard a siyum from a woman? He asked me another shayla. What would be if a katan, a child, that's not bar mitzvah yet, could he make a siyum? Could a katan make a siyam? During the 9 days, a katan, could he make a siyam? So he told me there was a maisa shayu kacha in Camp Agoda where they make a siyam, that's the minig, during the 9 days, and they were looking for a messiah, and they only had a katan. No, he was a child. He was 12 years old, and they called Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, and Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky said, Avada, you can make a siyam. It's simcha b'ma'inai, it's a beautiful simcha, and he said a katan can make a siyam. He was mighty the whole camp. This katan was based on a psak from Yaakov Kamenetsky. Then he asked another shayla. He said, and this was a real story that he had in his kehillah, but what would be if someone is in the process of being Megayer, being a Ger Tzedek? Gerus could take a very long time. And this Ger Tzedek started learning a Masechta before he was Megayer. And then he was Megayer. Could he make a Siyam now after the Gerus? Or do you say that being that he learned part of the Masechta before the Gerus, maybe you won't be able to make the Siyam either way? We'll end on that note.